This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. Have you noticed? The denials of yesterday are the concessions of today. The evidence is seeping out, even though it's locked away. The voices of the people are even stronger than before. It's becoming clearer every day. There was no need for war. The dark agenda's plans are foiled. Their power grip is weakened. By the radiating light of freedom's voice, in an ever-growing beacon.
That I hear now ringing in my ears. I've heard that sound before. What's that I hear now ringing in my ears? I hear it more and more. What's that I hear?
Ascension's Path. Assistance is offered to Ascension's Way from Lady Estria, Angel Joy, and Serapis Bay. There are others, and we mention a few. There are angels of the pink, yellow, and blue. The angels and master of all the rays help us arise for our Ascension Day. Beloved Mother Mary and Jesus the Christ are always offering and sharing their light. To hearts filled with love, a penchant for sharing, to those who believe in world peace and caring, Serapis Bay gives special attention and initiation. Ascension being the Christ's whole intention. Having passed many tests throughout time, Master Serapis holds up the blueprint divine. To identify only with the pure and the whole, then he can pass out Ascension Scroll. Standing as the Hierophant in the inner chamber, he will beckon us in when initiation's over. Here, acceleration of atoms of our being leaves us with fulfillment of this life's dream. Thank you, Serapis, Master of the Ascension. We pledge our devotion and constant attention to your lantern of illumination on the path. As you show us with light, there is no death. A shining crystal of pure white fire, the glory of the Christ at last is ours. Now, devotion to Earth is only one of the multiple things yet to be done. We see fully God's plan from above. We help all planets, rotation, be love. Magnanimous, compassionate, at one with the stars, we light a million new flames to raise all higher.
Skins in between. I am young, I am old. I am each age that has been. I am scrawny, I am well fed. I am starving for attention. I am famous, I am cryptic. I am hardly worth a mention. I am short, I am height. I am any frame or stature. I am smart, I am challenged. I am striving for a future. The color of sky is blues and grays. The color of earth is greens and browns. The color of hope is rainbows and purples. And the color of peace is people together. People together. I am able, I am weak. I am some strength, I am none. I am being, I am thought. I am all things said and done. I am born, I am died. I am dust of humble roots. I am graced, I am pain. I am labor of will fruit. I am slain, I am free. I am bonded to my life. I am rich, I am poor. I am wealth of mistrust. The color of sky is blues and grays. The color of earth is greens and browns. The color of hope is rainbows and purples. And the color of peace is people together. People together. I am shadow, I am glory, I am seeking my tomorrow. I am growing, I am fading. I am hope amid the sorrow.
I am certain, I am doubtful. I am desperate for solutions. I am leader, I am student. I am fate and evolution.
I am spirit, I am voice. I am memory not recalled. I am chance, I am cause. I am effort blocked and walled. I am him, I am heard. I am reason without rhyme. I am past, I am nearing. I am present in all times. I am many, I am no one. I am seasoned by each being. I am me, I am you. I am also sad.
Excerpts from Reclaiming Hope, the Peace Movement After the War, a speech given by Paul Loeb. The bombs that fell on Iraq shattered the armies of Saddam Hussein and the bodies of 5 to 10,000 civilians. They also crushed the spirits of many in the peace movement, driving participants into their shells. In the months before the war, several million ordinary Americans marched and spoke out to challenge it, joined by the largest global peace demonstrations in history. Then we watched the war on TV or read about it in the papers and felt hopeless and powerless. Many of us wonder now whether our actions can matter. Because so many citizens marched, vigiled, lobbied, and otherwise raised our voices, we felt like we might stop the war. An amazing movement bloomed, seemingly out of nowhere. Then Bush invaded nonetheless, and many of us sank into despair. Think back to the war. Arrogant men of power will always deny that those who challenge them are affecting their actions. But when Bush dismissed the massive protests as no more consequential than a poll-manipulated focus group, it was a calculated attempt to make people feel powerless. Then the attack began, presented by America's TV networks as a mix of 4th of July spectacle and Super Bowl cheerleading. Unless we tuned to the BBC, we rarely saw the human carnage, just endless glorification of the U.S. technical might. When Iraqis resisted against all odds, our reporters dismissed them as fanatics. They accepted without question the transformation of British and American troops into coalition forces, as if the whole world stood by our side, like a child with an army of imaginary friends. We were told again and again that America fought only for freedom, and that to even question would betray our brave young soldiers. As a friend said, I feel all I can do is watch, but watching makes it worse. With the war now over, many of our predictions have proven correct. Looters and fundamentalist Shiites have dominated the post-Saddam landscape. Despite justified relief about the collapse of Saddam Hussein's brutal rule, most Iraqis have not welcomed us with cheers, but with hesitation and mistrust. Our attacks provoked riots throughout the Islamic world, from Egypt and Pakistan to Indonesia and Malaysia. Weapons of mass destruction still have not been found, and may never be. Contracts are being hounded out like Halloween candy to Republican-linked corporations like Halliburton and Bechtel, equal opportunity merchants who had no problems dancing with Saddam Hussein when he was in power, Halliburton as recently as 3 years ago. We need to challenge a view that our leaders can do whatever they choose without consequence, simply because they have the power. After the UN didn't support the Bush administration on Iraq, the Bush administration attacked anyway, then spurned post-war international control, leaving our troops as visible occupiers, exposed to attack, blamed for continued disorder, and inflaming the Islamic world with their presence. Whenever treaties on global warming, tobacco use, child labor, ballistic missiles, or landmines threaten to place limits on corporate or military power, the administration undermines them or withdraws, even though this unilateralism makes it impossible for the world to address our most urgent common problems. If the rich want more tax breaks, it doesn't matter that the funds come out of domestic education, health, and social welfare budgets, even the programs that serve military families. Those making these decisions assume that they will have no costs or none to anyone who matters. We need to challenge this politics of denial and contempt and offer alternatives that honor our common ties. Working with other nations, respecting communities at home, treating democracy as more than just a rhetorical cloak for bullying and greed. To do this effectively, we can begin by working to re-involve those millions of ordinary citizens who, despite all the polls, do not believe the Bush administration's actions, whether at home or abroad, have made the world safer, more democratic, or more humane. For the moment, many have grown quite isolated, intimidated, and demoralized. But this past year, so many people got involved, either again or for the first time, they could form the core of the largest American peace and justice movement in decades. The movements of this past year may well have brought into involvement the next Ben Spock, the next Rosa Parks, the next Martin Luther King. But the tide of the new citizen activists will matter only if we can find ways to re-involve them. A prime task, therefore, has to be connecting with those people who participated at the periphery of the movement, but melted away when the war began. The neighbor who displayed a peace sign, the co-worker who went to a march or candlelight vigil, the friend who raised hesitations. We need to validate their impulse to participate to begin with. Listen to their concerns, refer them to the groups that are acting. We need to give them ways to reclaim their voice and begin reaching out again in their communities. Just the process of working to raise issues together will help us recover some of our sense of power, because nothing is more depressing than watching the bad news in withdrawal and silence. We have powerful potential allies institutionally as well as individually. The recent movement brought together key organizations and voices of conscience in ways that didn't remotely occur even at the height of the opposition to the Vietnam War. The Win Without War Coalition joined the National Council of Churches, the Sierra Club, the NAACP, the National Organization for Women, national peace groups, major union leaders, and cyber activists like MoveOn.org and Working Assets. We saw strong peace statements from every major Catholic leader and the heads of every major mainline Protestant denomination except the Southern Baptists. ACLU memberships have soared in the wake of the Patriot Act's gross invasion of the most basic elements of privacy. If these institutions and institutional leaders can keep working together, they can offer powerful ways to create a common voice. Add in a continuing global peace movement, and we have a powerful base for change. Finally, we need to persist. The roots of the Iraq War go back decades, from the Southern Strategy that handed the Republicans so much political power to the U.S. role in bringing Saddam Hussein and his Ba'athist Party to power to begin with. These roots won't be instantly untangled. If we look just at the past few months, we didn't win what we had hoped. We ran out of time to stop the war. But we were never in it only to stop just a single war, but to redirect this country down paths that treat the world with respect. And that's a task to take on not in a single month or political season, but throughout the course of our lives. Paul Loeb is the author of Soul of a Citizen, Living with Conviction in a Cynical Time.
Who's been spreading disaffection among the lower ranks? Who's been painting mystic symbols on the guns of chieftain tanks? Who's been looting supermarkets? Who's been causing an affray? Who's been faking half a dozen Mona Lisas every day? Oh no, who was it? It wasn't me, I didn't do it. Do you take me for a fool? Would I dare to flout an order? Would I disobey a rule? I've been countering insurgents with my electronic probe. I've been spraying rainbow acid drops halfway around the globe. I've been building barley mountains in an alcoholic lake. And I may have loosed a sidewinder missile by mistake. But I wouldn't do a thing like that, I wouldn't do a thing like that. Who's been blockading the stock exchange with wild bulls on heat? And now they're terrorizing city gents in Threadneedle Street. Who's been hurling donkey droppings on the floor of the house? Who's been holding pagan loggins and frightening the grouse? Oh no, who was it? It wasn't me, I didn't do it. I'm the creme de la creme. I'm a true cool blue-blooded slice of British phlegm. I've been tearing up the tarmac in my diamond-studded car. I've been feeding mummies for years on champagne and caviar. I've been gloriously backing, buying feathers by the ton. I've been sheltering my taxis on my island in the sun. But I wouldn't do a thing like that, like that. I wouldn't do a thing like that. Who's been cutting through the razor wire and dancing round the base? Who's been leaking Rachel's secrets and making her lose face? Who's been feeding flying mushrooms to the household cavalry? Someone's locked up all the padlocks and thrown away the key. Oh no, who was it? It wasn't me, I didn't do it. Don't you know I'm good as gold? I've been trained and armor-plated to do everything I'm told. I've been churning mushroom meadows into money-breeding sites. I've been skittling the pickets with my team of proclodite. I've been tranquilizing no-goods who upset the status quo. I've been pumping Christmas turkeys with the boost of H2O. I'm selling hunger to the hungry and cancer to the free. And I'm brewing up the oceans into radioactive tea. And I'm playing nuclear poker, and before the game is won, I'll be melting down the polar caps and lasering the sun. But I wouldn't do a thing like that, like that. I wouldn't do a thing like that. No, I wouldn't do a thing like that, like that. I wouldn't do a thing like. That.
A letter to a young activist during troubled times by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, author of Women Who Run With the Wolves. Do not lose heart. We were made for these times. I have heard from so many recently who are deeply and properly bewildered. They are concerned about the states of affairs in our world right now. Ours is a time of almost daily astonishment and often righteous rage over the latest degradations of what matters most to civilized, visionary people. You are right in your assessments. The luster and hubris some have aspired to while endorsing acts so heinous against children, elders, everyday people, the poor, the unguarded, the helpless, is breathtaking. Yet I urge you, ask you, gentle you, to please not spend your spirit dry by bewailing these difficult times. Especially, do not lose hope. Most particularly because the fact is we were made for these times. Yes. For years, we have been learning, practicing, been in training for, and just waiting to meet on this exact plane of engagement. I grew up on the Great Lakes and recognize a seaworthy vessel when I see one. Regarding awakened souls, there have never been more able crafts in the waters than there are right now across the world. And they are fully provisioned and able to signal one another as never before in the history of humankind. Look over the prow. There are millions of boats of righteous souls on the waters with you. Even though your veneers may shiver from every wave in this stormy royal, I assure you that the long timbers composing your prow and rudder come from the greater forest. That long grain lumber is known to withstand storms, to hold together, to hold its own, and to advance regardless. We have been in training for a dark time such as this, since the day we assented to come to Earth. For many decades, worldwide, souls just like us have been felled and left for dead in so many ways over and over, brought down by naivety, by lack of love, by being ambushed and assaulted by various cultural and personal shocks in the extreme. We have a history of being gutted, and yet remember this especially, we have also, of necessity, perfected the knack of resurrection. Over and over again, we have been the living proof that that which has been exiled, lost, or foundered can be restored to life again. In any dark time, there is a tendency to veer toward fainting over how much is wrong or unmended in the world. Do not focus on that. There is a tendency, too, to fall into being weakened by concentrating on what is outside your reach, by what cannot yet be. Do not focus there. That is spending the wind without raising the sails. We are needed. That is all we can know. And though we meet resistance, we more so will meet great souls who will hail us, love us, and guide us. And we will know them when they appear. Didn't you say you were a believer? Didn't you say you pledged to listen to a voice greater? Didn't you ask for grace? Don't you remember that to be in grace means to submit to the voice greater? Understand the paradox. If you study the physics of the waterspout, you will see that the outer vortex whirls far more quickly than the inner one. To calm the storm means to quiet the outer layer, to cause it to swirl much less, to more evenly match the velocity of the inner core till whatever has been lifted into such a vicious funnel falls back to earth, lays down, is peaceable again. One of the most important steps you can take to help calm the storm is to not allow yourself to be taken in a flurry of overwrought emotion or desperation, thereby accidentally contributing to the swale and the swirl. Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world, will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for a dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding, adding to, adding more, continuing. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. One of our most calming and powerful actions is to intervene in a stormy world by standing up and showing your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. The light of the soul throws sparks, can send up flares, builds signal fires, causes proper matters to catch fire. To display the lantern of soul in shadowy times like these, to be fierce and to show mercy toward others, both are acts of immense bravery and greatest necessity. Struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. If you would help to calm the tumult, this is one of the strongest things that you can do. There will always be times when you feel discouraged. I, too, have felt despair many times in my life. But I do not keep a chair for it. I will not entertain it. It is not allowed to eat from my plate. The reason is this. In my uttermost bones, I know something, as do you. It is that there can be no despair when you remember why you came to earth, who you serve, and who sent you here. The good words we say and the good deeds we do are not ours. They are the words and deeds of the one who brought us here. In that spirit, I hope you will write this on your wall. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe. There can be no doubt. But that is not what great ships are built for.
And the CEOs and the bottom line as the profit grows. The money talks, you don't talk back. They don't like it when you act like that. But do we shut it down, didn't we? November 30th, 99, it was a Tuesday morning when we drew the line. It was a WTO coming to town, and we swore we're gonna shut it down. And they stood there with their big police. They had the National Guard out to keep the peace, with the guns and the clubs and the chemical gas. But still we would not let them pass. And they raged and roared and their tempers flared, and there were bombs bursting in the daylight air. And they'd run us off, do us in, but we came right back again. Yeah, didn't we? Shut it down, didn't we? November 30th, 99, millennium passing as the numbers climb, and the people came from everywhere. There must have been 50,000 out there. There were farmers, unions, rank and file. Every grassroots has its own style. There were great big puppets, two stories tall. There were drummers drumming in the shopping malls. There were so many people that you couldn't see how that many people got into the city. And the WTO delegates too, but we were locked down so they couldn't get through. Yeah, didn't we? Shut it down. cut it down, didn't we? November 30th, '99, locked down at the police line, and they're hitting you with everything they got. But you ain't moving, like it or not. And they're tying your wrists with plastic cuffs, and they're loading you up on a great big bus, and they're taking you down to the Navy base. Pepper spraying you right in the face, try to break you down, try to get you to kneel. For you got the unity, and this is for real. And they can't freak a spirit that's coming alive. That's the kind of spirit that's bound to survive. Yeah, didn't we? Shut it down, didn't we? All the glitter and flash, you know, the newspapers talking out a whole lot of trash about the violence of the people in black, and how the cops are so tired they just had to attack. And the secrets hidden in that deep dark hole of what they call City Hall may never be told. The mayor's out doing the spin, the police chief quit so you can't ask him. Well, they can swear to God and all human law, but I was there and I know what I saw. The visible stains that wash away in the rain, but this old town will never be the same. 'Cause didn't we shut it down, didn't we? Now it's the greatest story ever told. David and Goliath, how you be so bold, standing up to the giant when the going gets hot, and all you got is a slingshot. Well, they tell me that the world turned upside down. You gotta pick it up and shake it, gotta turn it around. You gotta take it apart to rearrange it. I don't wanna see the world, I wanna change it. Don't let them tell you that it can't be done, 'cause they're gonna be the first ones to run. Just take a little lesson from Seattle Town, WTO and how we shut it down. Yeah, didn't we shut it down?
Spinning broken cross. America, the supersized land of the free market of values, melting pot of mammon, boasting of greatness and oily excess, tossing all protest behind with our trash, revving the engines of our industry in the face of a brutalized, weeping world. Home of the brave few who dare to resist an insidious, slick conditioning of control, a war on the mind in the vacuum of soul, losing the world in the pledge of obedience to spies and criminals and General Electric, a nation of fattened, domesticated herd apes. Always the same men with glaring eyes, larger than life and twice as mean, roasting the world with a roar of applause and the waving of flags proudly held high, saluting of citizens and marching of men, shooting of cannons and broadcast of threats. Trillions of American dollars going into a war machine. Who keeps track anymore and who even cares? Where all this human energy and processed planet ending in the bank accounts of whom and why again? We are blindly following behind these men for centuries, feeding their hunger for blood, madness, chaos, and control. America has lost the war in the world before it has begun, conquered by the worms that escaped Nuremberg, sold our souls to dead presidents of the white race, followed a dangerous path carved out by the CIA, armoring ourselves with high-tech holocausts, feeding our overstocked supermarkets until spoiled. Once the war has begun, does America believe it will win? With 5 billion opponents and not enough barbed wire, will our children be thanking us for saving their future, while the vast masses of mankind are cursing us for stealing their possibilities and being so stupid? Will we still be applauding the son of a Bush then? America, America, man sheds his waste on thee. We call it progress and patriotism and pride. America, America, man sheds his waste on thee. We call it progress and patriotism and pride. While the poisons seep into our skin and eyes, so we cannot see the bloody stripes and crooked stars, being soaked with the gore of our world at war, around a white circle and a spinning, broken cross. B.Z. Botani.
My name's Michaelo, I like to play with shiny toys. I'm just a child, like other little boys. What's leukemia, won't somebody tell? Is it as pretty as this little bullet shell? My name is Hanan, I'll be dead within a year. But if I could speak, and if somehow you could hear, I'd ask some questions, maybe some that you could answer. Like, what's uranium, and why was I born with cancer? And I'm Juanita, for me life's been short and strange. Born with no arms here beside the bombing range. They call it DU, the stuff that made my life this way. My parents were arrested at the protest yesterday. I have no name on this military base. Born and died here, a child without a face. To serve his country, my father went off to war. But it followed him home, back to the Mississippi shore. Poisoned children of the earth. And I will haunt you wherever you give birth. In the war zones, whichever side you're on. Cause the dust is never settled once the battle's dead and gone. Yes, I'm the future of a planet on its knees. Radiation, sickness, and disease. I'm all the armies, I'm the life that couldn't be. And when you see another baby, think of me. When you see another baby, think of me. When you see another baby, think of me.
Small Steps and Golden Stones by Peter Murphy. It was a long walk, but someone had to do it, and today it was up to Tori to carry the water from the river, through the fields and across the valley, back to the camp. He set out early, before sunrise, so that he could do this work before the heat of the day became too much. Very soon, he was standing by the side of the river. He knelt down and cupped the flowing water into his hands. It felt great. So refreshing, cool, and alive as it flowed through his outstretched hands. He drank some of the revitalizing waters before filling the two large urns with this clear, fresh water. Holding one urn to his chest with each hand, Tori started the long walk back to the distant camp. Even though the sun was now rising, he could still not even make out the outline of the tents. They were there somewhere on the other side of these fields and across the wooded valley. He walked on, taking care to stay clear of the high grass that tried to brush against him as he made his way along the path through the field. He also took care to keep his balance as he walked along the dirt track, otherwise he would spill water all along his route. Tori walked quickly, and before long, even before he noticed, he was on the outskirts of the camp. The sun was a golden orange as he stopped to rest. He put the urns down on the ground, and at that moment, Kuma, the old wise man of the village, walked out to greet him. Kuma had a smile on his old face as he looked down at the dew-drenched trousers worn by Tori. He giggled as he waved his walking stick in the air and explained to the confused Tori why he was laughing so hard. And here's what he said. When you focus on what you want to avoid those little monsters, they grow even bigger and faster than you expect. Instead, put your attention only on what you want and where you want to go. Today, as you walked through the field, you wanted to avoid getting wet and hot. Nor did you want to lose any water from those two full urns. But you got soaked by the wet grass, and you slipped from time to time on the damp track and lost a little water each time. And all the worry made you sweat. If instead you had paid attention to what you wanted, to be cool and dry as you carried the urns, you might have noticed the other pathway through the field, the one in the shadow of the forest. You can walk along that trail of perfectly level golden stones at any time of the day without being bothered by the heat of the sun. One step, and one golden stone at a time would have brought you home very dry indeed, with two urns full to the brim. And so it is for all of us. Know what you want, and you just might get it. Otherwise, you are doomed to get what you worry about, that which you do not want.
Feminine,
Quotes. This business of burning human beings with napalm, of filling our nation's homes with orphans and widows, of injecting poisonous drugs of hate into veins of people normally humane, of sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, cannot be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. John F. Kennedy. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. George Orwell. The president boasted at the top of his press conference that we have the support now of Britain and Spain for our attack on Iraq. You know, when you want to make it perfectly clear to the world that you're not an imperialist, the people you want in your corner are Britain and Spain. Bill Mayer. An apt and true reply was given to Alexander the Great by a pirate who had been seized. For when that king had asked the man what he meant by keeping hostile possessions of the sea, he answered with bold pride, "What thou meanest by seizing the whole earth, but because I do it with a petty ship, I am called a robber, whilst thou, who dost it with great fleet, art styled emperor." St. Augustine in the City of God. Fascism should rightly be called corporatism, as it is a merge of state and corporate power. Benito Mussolini.
Someday,
push him down.
When the belly hungers, heart grows stronger, then no longer will you push him down. Chain a man, take away his liberty. him into poverty. Then the dream inside will blossom, and his heart will learn to sing. And you can't stop a man from flying when his soul has found its wings.
Push him down.
Just make him stronger.
Push him down.
He'll rise up someday.
Push him down.
When the belly hungers, heart grows stronger, then no longer will you push him down.
The important thing is not to think much, but to love much, and so do that which best stirs you to love. St. Teresa of Avila. We look forward to the time when the power of love will replace the love of power. Then will our world know the blessings of peace. Gladstone. A Call for Love. Although we may not know each other in the flesh, the very fact that we are working in the light irrevocably binds us together, and even more so when we work consciously, asking in each spiritual work we do to be united with all the workers of the light in every nation. There are countless fellowships of brothers and sisters working for the light in many ways and varied ways around the world. That is why together we make up the mightiest and the most impressive interplanetary network of light ever seen by this humanity. Besides, when we work in the light, we are also inevitably united with the higher legions and hosts of the light, masters and guides on so many celestial levels, strata, and dimensions, commandos or special units that are working united among themselves and with us on the same mission, the salvation of our planet and humanity. These forces have accesses to powers, abilities, resources, and technologies that defy our comprehension, with which to put an end to any war and achieve whatever we as humans propose. There is no limit to the power wielded by the forces of the light, just as there are no limits to the power of God. That is why victory is ours. This is a call for you to join, if you have not already done so, the greatest planetary operation in love in all the history of humankind. It is also a wish for you and your group to be liberated through the power of the light of all of us who are on the same mission Earth. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman wishing peace, freedom, and joy to the world.